Father, I just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you, Father. Even as we, Lord, come before you, I surrender my heart, I surrender my mind, I surrender my voice and my lips, Lord, unto you, Lord. Everything that inside me belongs to you. Lord, I pray nothing that I speak will come from the flesh, but it will come from your spirit. And I claim, Lord Jesus, that you will take control of this message there. So your hearts of the people will be fertile ground to receive the word. And they will be fertile to receive the seed. And what is planted, nothing shall be stolen in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, which is a famous message everyone know, but somehow the God has put in my heart 3 weeks ago to speak about this during this season. The season of Christmas celebration, the season of celebration, season of birthdays. Every one of us have got birthdays and we celebrate differently. How many of you celebrate all the same? Some of you celebrate in pubs. Some of them celebrate in restaurants. Some of them celebrate in beautiful hotels. Some of them celebrate very humbly at home, wherever you are. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we celebrate differently. But today we want to see something God wants to speak to us about meekness. Chapter 5, verse 5. And the Sermon on Mount started off with this. Then he said, and seeing the multitudes, he went up to a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Praise God. So we will concentrate on only one, that's blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The earth means its land. The Greek word which is used at a time, or at a time when it was written in Greek, it says land. It will conquer. You'll be inheriting the land. Let's look at meekness first of all. What is meekness? What does meekness mean to you? What does meekness say? Some of us say that, you know, Jesus is just reflecting on the psalm which has been said in Psalm 37. And verse 11 says that the meekness, you know, he talks about, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That's what Psalm 37 verse 11 says. So it is a reflection, some of the preachers say, but it's not a reflection, because I remember this yesterday when I was reading. In the same thing he says in the chapter 5, he will go down further. He says, nothing. Do not think I came to destroy the law of, verse 17, 5, 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, I repeat again, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot, one tittle will be by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Amen. When you say it's one tittle, it's a jot. You know the Hebrew letters, they have got one jot here, and like, Chinese also have got some characters, you know. You put one jot and take out a jot and you'll find something else. A tittle is a comma too. A comma too is very important. Nothing can be changed in what God said, what he said. So he says the meekness is one of the things that will happen. All these things that he said, the 8 blessings that he given, happiness is given to all of us, is to say 8 will happen, the 8 verses will happen to us before even the world ends. Amen. What he has said there, there shall be meek people in the world, there shall be people who will be hungry and thirsty. Hungry and thirsty mean is the total desire, a desire that is cannot be counted by anything else. How much you hunger, how much you thirst, that is what you receive. So you thirst so much, you hunger so much, you'll do anything for that. That's what he says about hungering. But now let's go back to meekness. What is meekness? There is 3 words now we talk about. One is humility. Right? Humility. And then humble. Right? And then we have got people who are meek. Now, what is this difference between all these three? First of all, let us look at the dictionary of what he says about humble. You'll find meekness means it's not, is it speaking about a character, or is it speaking about a thing that is something we have to get, or is it something that is, what can I say about it? A word that I can't find come to my mind now. A word that says that it is something that we look for, or just that it'll be there and we'll just take it. Something is not available for you just to take it and use it for a time and it goes off after that. Can you just imagine when rain comes, you just take out umbrella and use it, after that you fold it back and put it back into your car. How many times do you have that? How many of you don't have umbrellas at home? How many of you don't have umbrellas? Have anyone seen umbrella first? If you don't know, I'm sure the ladies carry one in their bags. So you ask, umbrella, you use it when you want it only. Then put it back again. Right? So you put it back and said, okay, this is what, I keep this away. You know, you would have seen the other day, one of the things that I'm putting on my Facebook, and also I'll be putting on to the thing of the meditation which God's me. You see, prayer is not a spare tire wheel that when you take out, when you need it, but prayer is what? A steering wheel for you to steer, that navigates your life to its objective and fulfillment. Amen? So same way, our umbrella is not something, meekness is not something you use it and then close it back and put it back. It's not something tangible. It's not something periodical. It is not something that is you get it from outside and be inside. Amen? I'll prove to you because Jesus said that so. I don't say it. Jesus says so. So meekness is something. Let's look at meekness the way he looks at. What is meekness? Meekness is actually something that we look at. I want to take an example of meekness now. I want to see the personality of, there are two persons who speak about meekness. One you see in chapter 5 of verse 8, you'll find also in Luke, you'll find meekness. Right? And you'll find here meekness. Matthew is a person who is a tax collector. Alright? He's a tax collector. A tax collector means a Levi who actually inherits everything. Somebody who is a businessman, many of them say, oh, this guy is a Jew. How many of you said that? How many of you said that as a literally, saying that, hey, this guy is a Jew, you know, every single dollar or every cent he'll take out of me. How many of you said that? If you go to India, they'll say, well, he's not a Jew, he's a Gujarati, his name. Or a Chettiar, you know, they'll say something. You know, Chinese, I don't know who you call that, the Jew. Who do you call? You know, you say, "Aiya, this clan of people, ayo, very difficult people, you know. They'll even squeeze you out when there is no more orange to come out, no more drops to come out. They'll squeeze until something comes out. Right, not? So you said something like, this people, Matthew is a man who was a tax collector. I want to bring you back to the historical time of the time when the times tax collectors were doing. Tax collectors at the time, you'll find there are many tax collectors. The other person you'll find also in Jericho when Jesus saved him. How many of you know his name? Zacchaeus. Right? So if you are praying for the country, you will know that you'll always use the word Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was one of them. Tax collectors are hated people. Why are hated people? Because when they taxed the king, they said, you must give only, you take only, say, 1 ringgit, but they will take 10 ringgit from you, and the 1 more ringgit, they'll bribe to their officer and keep the balance of $8 into your hands. Do you know what I'm saying? Tax collectors were free to do what they want. How many of you have seen tax collectors? Why Jesus is angry with the tax collectors at the time when he went to the temple? Because they were all cheating. Even money changers were cheating. Money changers change, and the change, you know, the money, and you have to have a temple coin. So in order to get a temple coin, they were cheating to change people's money. A ringgit you must change to a temple coin. So you have to change the money. So if the ringgit has to be changed, they also cheat there. So tax collectors are not ordinary people. They are people who accumulate wealth. They have a lot of wealth. They've got own people around them as security guards. No, all of them around you, bodyguards around them. But people who are living like that, will they lose something to follow Jesus Christ? If I ask you today, which is the richest man in this country? Nobody dare tell. Because you know the person, you dare not say it. because he'll be caught. So Mr. X is the one which is hiding away from the wealth, you know, so not showing his wealth. He is the richest man here. So tomorrow, if Jesus comes and say, come, follow me, would he give up everything and follow him? Why would not? Why would not? Why would he not follow? Why? Because he has already built himself, his character is such that inside him, that what is accumulated, he's still accumulating, but he, whatever he accumulates, he will still continue accumulating. What is inside him is to find he's comfortable now, I don't want to lose what I want to have. What I have, I don't want to lose it now. No rich man will ever lose. You'll also find that same thing with a young man, young rich man who came to Jesus Christ and said, you know, how do I go to heaven by a teacher, good teacher, how do I go to heaven? Matthew chapter 18, you'll find, he said, how do I go to heaven? He said, no, Jesus repeated the Ten Commandments. And he says, I know all of that. What else must I do to go to heaven? He says, sell everything else and follow me. Did he do that? He cannot, because why? He cannot give up something he is built inside him. What is built inside you is important. So that man did not use his power and his authority and also his finances whenever he needed. He uses it daily, every day. His power, his authority, his pride, he uses it daily inside him. It's inbuilt inside him. He cannot forsake that. That is why he cannot follow Jesus Christ. To follow Jesus Christ means to leave everything and come. But you see, I want to ask you, can you find the same kind of character of meekness in Matthew that he will follow Jesus Christ? He did not have the character. Did he have the lowliness? Did he have that humility that he'll go down and say, no, I forgo everything else? He didn't have the character. But something made him to follow Jesus Christ. Leave everything and follow Jesus Christ. This man was a learned man. He had everything with him. He had money. He was sitting down and collecting tax the day, and suddenly Jesus passed by and looked at him intensely and he says, Matthew, follow me. Levi, follow me. And the word of God says he dropped everything and he just followed him. Brothers and sisters, in order to have meekness, it is not something for you to get from outside to be inside, but be from inside to outside. Amen? Amen. So that is why Jesus said very clearly, he says, learn from me the meekness. Where do you find that? He says, learn from me because I want to teach you how to have meekness. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. What he says? Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Why he says that he's humble? Because Jesus came down as a humble person. How can he be humble? He cannot be humble, because if he is humble, how can I say he's meek? Because the word of God says that he was with God in the beginning, but he gave up everything and came here as man. Aha. He could have become as an angel, but he did not come as angel, but he came as a man. Today we celebrate about Jesus Christ today. To celebration means of Jesus Christ means see the meekness of God himself to come down to take the flesh that he created. Hello? So God himself is a God, not only of power, of love, but he has got meekness inside him. He's humble. Otherwise, today, if I always thought, no, God, you got so much of power. You created Satan. You created everybody. All you just say a word, pop, go off. The fellow will just come like a dust. Can he? Can God has got a power? Has God power? Because God is not cruel. Inbuilt in him is meekness. He holds his word. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall surely fulfill its purpose. Amen. Come back to him with goods, with all the fruits of his words. So how can God do something which is not right? The meekness of God. Out of anger in Genesis, you'll find chapter 3, God cursed man. Hello? God cursed man. How did he curse man? He told the woman, from today onwards, you'll have pain in labor. So God, when he said that, he said before that, God's plan was not to have women to have pregnancy and then have labor, pain of labor pain. There was no such thing as that. But from that on, there was pain. Before that, man had not to have to work. He had everything in abundance in the Garden of Eden. You just pluck and eat what you want, God says. So you're free. But now, when he was chased out, God says, you have to toil the land. What did he say? Toil the land. So two curses God gave to man. So God, because he gave the curses to man, God has to come back in humility. Hello? How many of us, sometimes, when we say something in anger, and we go and tell somebody else, I'm sorry, or your husband and wife quarrel, that's misunderstanding with the husband and wife. How many of you go back and say, darling, I'm really sorry. I know I said it out of anger. I know I don't mean it, but I think you should have said that. I'm so stupid. I lost my mind at the time. I said these words. I'm sorry. That is, somebody said, no husband does that. I don't know. I'm sure there'll be some husbands, you know. But there are times I did not do it last time. Okay. So I cannot fight with her and tell her, no, I did it. So we never had that kind of heart to go and say, I can't do it. Don't have the heart. But God himself, he knows that he said, I've created this creation of man in my image, and I've cursed him today because he did not follow my commands, did not follow me. He went against me, against my word. So I cursed him. So God himself has to come down in meekness. How do you know that he came down in meekness? Let's turn to John chapter 17, verse 5. John chapter 17, verse 5 is a prayer of Jesus Christ for mankind and also prayer to the Father. And he says this, Father, and now Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. You know, when you've got the power, when you've got everything else in your hands, he's got power. He's the Word, you know. He's the Word. Everything was formed with the Word. Today, you're a commander of an army, or you're a manager in a place, or even a supervisor. Don't talk about manager. You're a supervisor. Or even in factories, they call it line leader, not yet even supervisor. You have power over all those people with you. You just tell them something, they will do it for you. Is that right? They do it for you. If you are a manager, they'll do it for you. If you're in the army or in the police, the senior one has got a command over the others. Is that right? But with that power he has, how many of us with that power are willing to come down and say, no, I want to give up that power. I want to become normal. How many of us do that? Even I don't see in politicians. Right? They give up. They're no more a politician. They still behave the old way they are. We see people who are managers, who are not people who are in control. They always want that respect again, even after they are already out of the army. Have you seen army men and policemen? You know, even they are no longer in the army, the general is there, they will come and say, Japan! They stand right in front of him, assume he's still the Atuan. Why? Because it's inbuilt in them. It's inbuilt. So what is inbuilt means, what has been inside you is what will show you outside. So God himself knows meekness. He is the Word, the powerful one. He gave all the glory he had. He left it with the Father and came down as man. Today as we celebrate, you say, oh, Jesus is, birthdays and everything else. No, people say today, oh, Jesus came to earth. I must now have a drink today. No, we all have, some of us, feel that Christmas Day is a day to drink much. How many of you know that? I come from families and I know from where I come from. Every Christmas you must have drink. Bottles and bottles, you must have grates and crates. And my army camp, they will go and find, can get cheap one. Last time, Nafi, Right or no? How many of you have experienced that? Don't put up your hands. I'm sure you don't want to put up. Right? You go and book, who's your friend, army friend? Have you finished your quota? No, sir. Can you buy for me 2 crates? Another friend, 2 crates. So they're entitled for 4 crates in a month. They'll get 4 crates, 8 crates. And you'll find the bottles in the house. And different bottles in the house. And a Christmas month. What? A celebration day, lah. Midnight come on Christmas night. After 21st night. After that, celebration. What celebration? Oh, the spirit of the bottle will come out. And will take control of the spirit of the man. So two spirits. So Christmas is not about celebration that way, but it's to understand the meekness of God to come down on earth to save man. So we must be meek, first of all. Meekness has got to be with us. He said, learn from me, he says. Learn from me, meekness. Meekness is something will help us in our life. Meekness has got to help us. Why did he say you will inherit the land? He didn't say you will inherit heaven. He said land. Where you are staying? Where you are staying? Meekness among men will find favor among men. Praise the Lord. Amen? Meekness among men will find favor. I will show you a man in the Bible whose name is called Moses. You know Moses? I won't give the scriptures today. I think we have got to finish by 12:30. Moses is a man. He had the righteousness inside him. Inside him was a righteousness inside him, burning inside him. So when he had the time that he knows that he cannot be Pharaoh, because he's not an Egyptian. He knows that. But he saw his brethren who was being the slave driver, hammering the man, his brethren. He became angry. He did something wrong. He murdered the slave driver. And then after that, he ran away. But he ran away. There was some meekness inside him. Unless there is meekness, God cannot use you. He became a man who was in the palace of power, came down to become an employee, a shepherd, in a place called, very far away, Midian. Do you understand what I'm saying? He was living in a palace, but now he's gone to a place where there is no palace there, probably caves, probably small houses there, and he has to live among them. And become a shepherd. He worked for Jethro. You go back and read the Bible. Genesis, Exodus. He became a shepherd. Now I will speak about shepherd this Sunday. I mean, it's on the 25th. Little things covers more. Little means a lot. Shepherd. You'll understand about shepherd a little bit more. So shepherd, he became a shepherd person, which is to work somebody else. He's not even a person in the house where, you know, he's not the head of the slaves of all the slaves or the servants. Do you know there's a master servant? He's not a head. He's not even a supervisor. He's not a wine bearer. He's the man outside there in the sun, in the snow, in the dew, watching over the wealth of the rich man. Do you know how small the job is? You know the bodyguards, security guards nowadays? How do we treat security guards today? How many of you know how do we treat? I want to ask you a question. You see a security guard, what do you feel? This guy, I'm sorry, maybe I'm speaking about myself. Last time, not now. This guy, I think he didn't get a job, like, didn't study. Like, I think that's why he's sitting here as a security guard. One day, in the company I worked, I won't mention the company. I was coming out at night, very late night. I see this old man sitting there. And I went and asked him, why, uncle, you look very old, you know. What's wrong you do this job? Why don't you go home and relax, you know? No, Tambi. I was formerly working in the army as a medical staff. And I'm now a bit old now. And my hands are shivering. So I can't work the job which I was doing. So now I'm retired. I cannot sit at home. If I sit at home doing nothing, I might die soon. So I want to do something. So coming and sitting down here, at least being around, and I know I have to go and clock in. You know, they have this clocking system. Have you known or not? Last time they have the clock, you must go walk around, you go to the wall, you must clock like that, and then key in this side and go to that side and key in. So he must do that thing. So that keeps me alive. I walk. Uncle, what were you doing in there? I was the HA. Health assistant. You know, HA means at the time, in the 1970s, HA means you are somebody like a doctor already. Do you understand? I come from a small town. HA is the only man who lives there. Doctors don't live in a small town. Doctors live in like a town, but we in Alogaja will only have HAs. So doctors will come once a week to Alogaja to treat the people. So all of us have got to wait. So HA is us, for us is the doctor. Right? When I was young, I had a small problem in my head. You know, there was a charcoal which hit my head and we had to go and stitch up. It was the HA who did that for me, not the doctor. So HA is somebody who's like a doctor. I remember my father, when the HA come, he will stand up and give him respect as if he's the
is the master. That's how HAs are treated. So brothers and sisters, what I'm saying here today is, this man was in sitting down as security guard just because he wanted to occupy time. How many times we have that kind of heart? Oh, this guy is useless, man. This guy is useless. Why should we have this kind of guys here? Right? Many of us, the way we treat our people. Can you just imagine Moses was treated like that? Coming back to Moses, Moses was treated like that. He was a security guard out there, day and night, watching over all the flocks. Not man, but animals. He had the meekness to take that job when he was already a learned man in the position of a palace. Hello? That's called meekness. There is something inside him that makes the meekness. There was something inside him that day that he was able to go there, then the meekness was able to be show up, and God has to see it from there and use him for the kingdom. Amen? So in order for you to do the kingdom of God work, you must have meekness. You found favor. He found favor not in the eyes of Pharaoh. He found favor in the eyes of God. Amen? Because of his meekness, that he has come, willing to come, he has found favor in the eyes of Jethro. He gave his daughter as the wife. Found favor from man, found favor from God. In order for you to find favor, you must have meekness. So Jesus, when he was crucified, before he went up, he did not say, the word of God in Isaiah says this, no. Verse 53, chapter 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. The next point is, even you have power, you do not exercise that power in meekness. Hello? You do not exercise that power because you have got power. How many of us feel when you have something power, we want to exercise the power to the best? Some pastors or even leaders of the church, oh, I'm so and so, so and so. I must be this. Or you are in the office, oh, I'm, you know, who is this? You know not who is this. I'm the manager of this company, you know. Don't you say that? When you have a problem in the car park, in your apartment, when you have a problem with the car park problem or something with the security guard, you know who I am? I own that apartment there, you know. I am the owner of the big apartment up there. How many of you say that? I know you all don't say it, lah. Maybe James is the only one saying all the time. Good people. I had that problem too. You know, when you have got money, you know who I am. Alright? When you have power, you know who I am. So, when you have power, you will not use. When you have got meekness, you will not use your power in vain. Jesus was led to the slaughterhouse like meek. He had the power. You know, go back and read the gospel because I'm chasing for time. I want you to go and see the power. The three gospels that talks about the dying of death, that he went to justification. At the time that he went in front of Pilate and every one of them, he had no power. He didn't say, you say so. My kingdom is not of this world. If it is so, I would ask my Father to send how many hundreds? Legions of angels to fight for me. It's not. I don't want to talk. Like a person who was shut. He had the power. All he has to say a word. One word. But Peter had that power at that night in the Gethsemane. Go back and read the Bible again. He had that power, that he had the power of a knife with him. He had a knife with him. He had a sword with him. That power of sword was so great because everybody else did not have a power, because he had the power to kill or to murder. He had the power. He took out his sword and he struck the servant of one of the security guards. He struck the ear and cut him off. He had power. He exercised his power. But Jesus, on the other hand, he had power, but he did not exercise his power. So being meek means do not exercise things for the sake of yourself. Amen. Meekness means it's something else. Meekness is about not about yourself. It's about somebody else outside. Meekness is that anybody is not introvert, but is extrovert. People looking outside, not inside, inwardly. Meekness is not looking something in outside. Meekness is not making you have all the authority, but not only yourself, all the time yourself. There's one time we say, consider about himself. You know, when Moses, the nation that he brought out in Numbers, you'll find Numbers 14, chapter 14, verse 11 to 20, you'll find that you see those people at the time, they became, although God gave him the power, and he says, no, all your descendants will be well. All your people will be well. So he can say at a time when people came up before him and went against God. Remember, they went against God, the people of Israelites. But people, God has already blessed him. You and your descendants will be well. That's a blessing upon Moses. Is that right? But you see, because the nation was wrong, he did not look for himself. He could have said, hey, I'm all right, lah. I can run away, lah, because these people are going to be condemned. I'll run away from them. No. He knelt down and he prayed and interceded for them. Hello. It's the enemies. The second time you'll find that he did not took himself as important for himself, because you'll find Miriam, and also, and Aaron, you'll find that he also at a time, they were cursing him. Miriam and Aaron murmured against Moses. They said bad things about Moses. Miriam said, you think what, God's power only come to you alone? It'll come to also others. Only God speaks to you? Nobody else. Have I heard this similarly somewhere? It sounds very familiar to me. Alright. So, he says, God speaks to you only, not to me also. Not to everybody else. No, God speaks to everybody. But you see, he had the meekness. Because he had the meekness, he knelt down, he prayed for them. Prayed for Miriam. Do you understand? That's meekness. Meekness will show up when you don't see your interest, but others' interests. Amen. Meekness will show others' interests. There are times that I want to do a lot of things for myself, but I can't, because you know why? I see that I have to have, as I've given a position here, a God has appointed, a God has called me. That's no appointment, it's not right thing. God has called me to the place. So I have to be meek enough to do the things that I have to do. If you are called as a leader, if you are called as a family leader, you are called in your own place where you are a leader, or a church leader, or even a company, you must have the meekness not to just go around and say, oh yes, Miriam actually said it, so, you know, I heard it, and everybody, how many of you all heard it? You heard it, isn't it? Aaron and so now, God says punish them. Yes, yes, all of us, let's stone them and punish them. So what I do is now, I go and advocate, come, you know, God has already punished them, we'll stone them quickly, die. He did not do that. Instead, he interceded. How many of us in our life, when we check ourselves, a checklist and say, do I have this meekness in me? Do we persecute our enemies? Do we persecute those who harm us? Then, you are at an adverse, you are in a better position to have all the power to go against them. But he did not. Joseph. Let's look at Joseph's life. As I'm saying, I'm not going to go back and check it out. Joseph, Genesis. Joseph had the power in Pharaoh's kingdom. In Egypt, he had the power. He was number two. He was the king. He was the number two man after the king. The same man, Potiphar, and his wife who has persecuted him, now he is the number one man in the same house. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's the number man. Did he go and say, hey, that lady, you are, that day told me lies, no. Now, Bible doesn't say so. Bible doesn't say he went and took revenge on that person who put him into the prison. Did you see that? That is what meekness is all about. So meekness finds favor. Meekness gives you not in your self-interest, but others' interest. Meekness, when you have power, you don't use the power vainly. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So So meekness, when we have got meekness, what is meekness about all about? Now meekness, I can talk about a few people in the Bible who talks about meekness. Let's talk about meekness. So who are the people I give you? Who has all the authority and power? Suffering of Jesus Christ, his enemies at the end of his life, like a sheep he went. That is what meekness is about. Just now I spoke to you. Isaiah 53:7. Then Jesus praying for those who were executing him. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Luke 23:24. Even that time when they were executing him, even those people were nailing him on the cross. You know, when you're in pain. Can you just imagine? Let's say, for example, I'm caught by the police or whatever it is, by a bandit or whatever it is. So I'm being nailed, but I'm punished. You know, at that time, what do you do? God, help me. Kill them, Lord. Kill them. So I can free myself and go out. So I can be a testimony for you. God, if I go out from you, only I can be a testimony. Otherwise, I cannot be a testimony. So you will say, kill them, Lord. Even sometimes, bad thoughts come to our mind. I don't know about you. Do sometimes me. When I see the political season sometimes, I hear so many things that I read. I say, oh Lord, why you are still keeping them here in this world? Tell me honestly, how many of you don't have that kind of bad thoughts? I know you all don't have. So I do have sometimes crossing. God, what is this? Why this man is still living, you know, after murdering all the children in Connecticut? God, what is happening in Malaysia, Lord? Some criminals are up there, Lord. Why are we keeping them in power? I'm sure I have that mind sometimes. And I forgive, ask forgiveness from God. God, I'm sorry. That's not my, I'm not a judge, but you are the judge. But we have, isn't that right? But many of us have got to change. That's why Jesus said, learn from me. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble. Amen. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble. So it's understanding what you are looking for today, isn't it? The unselfish kindness shown by the good Samaritan. Luke 10:25-37. The kindness, no, unselfish. This good Samaritan went there. He saw the parable. This man was already beaten up and everything else. He took the person and went up. He even paid for the innkeeper. Hello? He did not only take somebody and go out. How many of us sometimes, when you have got somebody in pain and you already got accident, like this guy, good Samaritan was beaten up, and then this guy came up and helped him out. The good Samaritan helped him up. Can you just imagine this traveler who was beaten up? How many of us, like us, we are a traveler and suddenly we get beaten up? What do we do? Do we say, oh no? Are you your blood is not my blood? No, I'm an Indian. No, you cannot take your blood from you. Do you say that? Oh, I'm a royal blood, you know. I come from this royalty, you know. So you cannot give me my blood. I'm sick. I know I'm sick, but I never mind. It's okay. I don't want yours. Your blood. Oh, no. You, what caste are you? Oh, you're the lowest class. I cannot. I'm the high class. I'm the Brahmin class. I cannot take blood from the low class. I'm sure every one of us cultures have got that. If we have that, there is no meekness in life. Amen. And this man, good Samaritan, not only he gave him, asked him to take care of his clothing and everything else, paid for his innkeeping. And even if I come back, if you still there is anything that he owes, until he gets back better and he goes on his road, and he says, I will take care of the bill. Amen. A good Samaritan, it's a meekness. The meekness, not seeing the person, whether he's relation or not relation, whether countryman, not countryman, he still took care of that man. Was in pain. Amen? So that's meekness. I'm giving examples. Can't go in details. To be meek is to recognize that Jesus meant what he thought. If someone strikes you on your cheek, on one cheek, turn to him the other also. Luke 6:29. That is meekness. Right? If somebody has stolen something from you and you don't go up and say, you know, you stole that, you know. I had an experience, it was a test, you know, for me. It was a test. Sometimes this year, something was taken out. I know the person has taken it from me. But you know what? I cannot go and ask him for this from him. So I decided to pick and say, maybe brother, you like these things. You know, can I give you this? So I believe he would have caught his heart that what he has taken, the same thing he has taken from me. So I gave it back to him again, another one. So he would have had in his heart. But he didn't say anything else. But I felt that he needed it most than me. He needed it most. Probably by accident he took it. But he says, instead of, you know, going and claiming back, take the other cheek and give to the one. What else you have, give it back to him. And give, you have taken a coat. If you have taken a coat, give another coat to him. Even give your coat to him. That's what the Lord says. I had an experience, this was a real test for me at that time. Right, real test. I had two. But one somebody has taken. So I said, I needed both of them. So I said, I think, might as well give the other one too, so that I will not have to worry about myself having one and the other one missing the other one. Amen? So you'll find meekness means is to strike. Now he didn't say, slap here and you also give it. Come, come, come. Slap, slap. Huh? How many of you did that? In school time, I remember they asked me, are you a Christian or not? My friends. Yes. Pop, he gave me a slap. And I was about to punch him or going all over him. And he says, you're not a Christian. Because Jesus said, you slap this side, you must give this side also. So you should have given me this side, then you are a true Christian. All right? This is written in ISFI, school of... So most of the times you'll find that what we do is sometimes does not correspond to our teachings, our heart, ourselves. To be meek is also to say, like along with Apostle Paul, I can do everything through him, that is Jesus Christ, who gives me strength. In Philippians chapter 4, 13. Many times that we take ourselves and say, hey, no, it's my intelligence. You know, I went to school, which school? I know what? Oxford, you know. You know Oxford or not? You don't know, I'm sure you don't know, go to school. Oxford is one of those things now, the edge. Do you know Harvard school or not? You don't know, because no, you have not been there. Because I've been there. So only the people at Harvard school will know this thing. So that is why I can solve this problem. It is not by your strength. It's by God. I can do all things because he gives the strength. If you overcome something today that you have got a problem, you overcame it, it's because, not because of you, it's because the Spirit of God came upon you, the power came upon you and gave you that wisdom to do it. Most of the time, they say, you know, I did it. So don't say, Puji Tuhan, you know, thank God that he has done it for us. When there's something good happens, don't thank God. You know what? Actually, you know what? You know, that's why I did this, you know. I'm so smart, you know, from school. Right? So because of worse sometimes thinking, meekness means is giving glory to God, not for your intelligence you have. You must be thankful that you went to that school because God allowed you to go. You must be thankful that you are able to wear something you are wearing today because God allowed you to do that. You must be thankful that you have got even a car or motorbike or even a bicycle. Well, so those people out there don't have one. And don't go and show off yourself to say, I have a motorbike. It's because I was able to do it. Now I can earn so much money. I can have Rolls Royce or whatever car you have. Talk about. Amen? So it is not because you are, but it's because God allows you to have it. If God did not allow it, I don't think anyone, even the bad people too, God allowed it to happen so that we will test the heart of the person, whether they are for that, the heart is filled with that, with the wealth, or is it filled with God's love? Man. Paul says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances, content, being content with the things that you have. It's also being meek. Being content. It's one of the commandments. He says, do not take away your neighbor's property. Right? Somebody said, do not take away your neighbor's spouse. But it's not neighbor. Anything that you take away from a neighbor is not right. Don't be content with what you have. If somebody next door has got something else, a bigger screen TV, it's okay. That's being content with what I have. I might have a 14 screen. It is okay. Doesn't matter. It works the same thing because I see the same picture they see also. Unless the big screen has got different picture. Does your big screen has got different picture in channel 8? Channel 8 is channel 8. It cannot show anything else. So it must have the same picture. So it doesn't matter what the others drive or what they have. It is not. Content is meekness. Philippians chapter 4 verse 11. It's a husband's loving wife as Christ loved the church. And a wife respecting a husband, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. He says, God says, as Jesus is the spouse of the church, So are you loving your wife? That's meekness. Meekness. Meekness does not mean it's a show off. Meekness does not show command. Meekness does not show anything else, but shows love. Do you love your spouse? Do you respect your spouse? Amen. We've got 5 minutes. Do we have all those things in our life? Do we have all those things which we have, which God's asked us today? Do we have that? You see, meekness is not your choice first. You know, sometimes when you go out, sometimes, you know, I've seen people, even for food, afterwards you're going to have food, okay? First thing they do, they choose this one, they grab that one, they grab that one, they grab that one, they grab. Probably it's James, like, not you all, okay? James grabs this one, gives this one. Ah, very nice, very nice. Everything put inside a big plane and go away. First choice is yours. The best is yours. The rest all, they all can take it, no problem. In my life, I've seen a person goes and take not only for the plate, but immediately the handbag also. And then not enough, finish already, the mother's handbag. I personally have seen it. Okay? The first choice. After that, you go and see everybody else. Pastor, I thought you bought this the other day. I thought you said you're buying this. Where is it? I'm missing. I don't know why. Only 3-4 people. How many of them take? No, so far? 5 of them. How come? 5 can eat about 20 people's food? Brothers and sisters, Lord Abraham gave a very good example of choice. When it came to a time of choosing, he said, he went to this vast land. He said, Lord, my nephew, his nephew, not his brother, I know. Nephew, brother's son. Brother who's done, now who has died, already gone. Now his son, Lot, he took along with him. Okay, now we already come to this place now. We've got a problem. You know, we'll have problem within our servants and your servants. Your servants will fight for this and my servants will say this thing. Hey, we don't want this problem. No, so what? You go your way and I'll go my way. So this land is so vast God has given to us. God said to Abraham, all this land is yours. You take. So God, he says now, okay, Lord, you choose first what you want to take. Did he say that? Hello? Unless I'm reading the wrong Bible. Lord, you choose what you want. But uncle didn't say, hey, I'm the uncle, you know. I choose first. Right or not? He let Lord choose what he has got to take for himself. And he took the green ones. He took the best ones. It doesn't matter. Abraham didn't have a heart saying that, oh, why did you take this? No, he has taken that. Then I will go to the hill countries there. I'll take the hill countries. Amen? Praise God. So important thing, meekness is not about your choice first. It's somebody else's choices. You do not choose first. Amen. David, in his relationship with Saul, you'll find so much of things about Saul I want to speak about. I don't have much time. You'll find Saul in his way when you'll find David was anointed by Samuel in Samuel 1, anointed by Samuel to become the king. Then after that you'll find Saul chasing after Samuel all the time. Chasing after David all the time. There were times, many times in the gospel you'll find in Samuel, there were opportunities where David could have killed Saul. King Saul, David could have killed him. But he is already anointed as a king. Right? Chosen by God. But he could have killed him and said, I take over the position. Although he was called to be a king, but he did not take the position because Saul was first anointed. Hello. Every time he sees him, he says that, no, I could have killed him. You'll find in the God, you go and see Samuel 1, he could have killed him with the spears that night when he went and stole. What did he steal? Hello? Yeah, the jug, water. He stole the one and came and he says, no, you see where's the, no, didn't I could have taken your head off, but I did not because you're anointed one. Recognizing other people's anointing is meekness. Recognizing your goodness is our meekness. Amen? It's important for us to understand that. So, in order for us to know meekness, our meekness is not that something we buy and keep inside. We have to learn and inhibit in our life. We've got to learn and inhibit in our life. The only teacher who can teach about meekness is Jesus Christ and no one else. David is son of man. He is ordinary man. Abraham was born, yes, is ordinary man. But God himself becoming man is extraordinary man. To have that extraordinary love for man, to be, have that meekness to come down, to suffer, that is called meekness. It's not humility alone, but it's meekness. Knowing that, you know, everything inside me, I keep myself lowly, not bragging about what the goodness I have, but lowly my heart goes. As my heart goes lower down, and the crown that God is going to give in the future is going to be getting bigger and bigger. Amen. Why does he say that you will control the earth? You will inherit the earth. Why didn't he say, you know, if you are meek, you can inherit heaven? In order, in heaven, you don't need meekness. You already have meekness automatically there. In heaven, don't need. Automatically, you are there in spirit. You have to have that same spirit as the elders who are doing. You'll be automatically become like what they are. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus says very careful, very clearly. You know, one man asked him, see, this man, the word of God says that if the eldest son in the family, he marries, and he does not have a son or a person, a child, to have, carry the name of the family, of this brother. So, if he dies, what happens? So, the word of God says, the second brother below him must marry the sister-in-law and must have a child. The child will be called under the elder brother's name. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then, if that man also dies, it goes on. Then he asks, no. At the end of the day, all of them died. And then this woman goes up to heaven. God, whose wife would this woman be? Ayo. Five husbands now, all brothers, and she died now. She doesn't have a child. Whose wife will that be? Good question, isn't it? In heaven. Jesus turned around and said, Ayo, you are a teacher, man. You're a teacher of word of God. Don't you know? He's asking, don't you know? In heaven, people don't get married. So when you go and get married, means you don't have the desire. So in heaven, when you go up, you don't have to seek for meekness. You'll be really meekness in front of the glory of God. So when you are in earth, the glory of God has got to come on earth. So in order for you to have, bring the glory down, to find favor with the man, you have to have meekness in this land so that you can live well in this land because of your meekness. Hello? Do you follow what I'm saying? In this land, you must have meekness. If Jesus did not have that meekness at that time, today the world cannot be overcome. Hello? He conquered the world. We read it this morning, is that right? We read it this morning. Chapter what? 16. And it says very well, I've overcome the world. If he has overcome the world, how did he overcome? Did he come with angels? Did he come with all the soldiers? Did he come with all the power that he had in his hands? If he could raise the dead, he can also do something to the people around. Hello, do you understand? If he can heal the blind, if he can heal the deaf, a woman with all the problems with her blood, just wiped off like that in a second, split second. Don't you think that he has got no power? He's got all the power. He's got all the wisdom. He's got all the things that the king was saying, Pilate, Pontius Pilate was saying. He had all the wisdom to go against everyone else. But did he do? That's called meekness. Meekness, unless you have meekness in this world, people who do not understand you, you cannot overcome and conquer this world. You will inherit the land. Why you inherit this land? When the land did you leave here, you will find favor with God and with man. Meekness is one of the things. It's one of the main things. He didn't say you'll become inherit the heaven, but he says on earth. You don't need meekness up there. Automatically you'll have meekness. Because in heaven, there is no such thing as that you cannot be proud, can be proud there anymore. Because the blood of Christ has washed us off there. No pride. Revelation says it very clearly. In Revelation, he says that everyone is there worshipping God. If they are bowing down and worshipping God and casting out their crowns. I want you to go back and read Revelation, the first three chapters, you read. They cast down their crowns. Whatever crown that God has given to us, He cast down the crown before Christ. That's how meek you are before God. You cannot be standing in the power of God and being proud. You will surely kneel down. Because you don't have to need meekness there. Meekness will be there automatically. But on earth, you need meekness. Without meekness, if you think all the power that you have, you can overcome everything else, you cannot do. And I remember this man. I'm mentioning this man. I saw something about this man. I watched this movie called Gandhi. And I was looking at him. What is that that he said? I love Christianity, but I don't love the people of Christians. What made him say so? If you see, he lived a life of Christian. He had known the Bible, but he lived a life of Christianity. Do you realize that? He had meekness. One of the attributes that Jesus Christ talked about, he had that meekness. Right? He fought with the people, but you know, in South Africa, when you see that movie, I was touched and I said, see, that meekness he had, that is why he said, he couldn't find in that, the white people at the time who were controlling them. He couldn't find that, what is written in the Bible, in their hearts. That turned away one man away from God. Turned away one man away from God, and he became a hero in a country, a nation, and everybody worshiped him. Hello, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get me what I'm saying? One man turned away because he couldn't find meekness in the Christians. What Jesus said in the Bible contradicts the action of the man who calls himself a Christian. Do you follow what I'm saying? So meekness has got to be inherited. Maybe learn from Jesus Christ. If you learn from Jesus Christ, I believe Gandhi would have learned it from Jesus Christ. He would have read the book. He was a lawyer, prominent lawyer. He would have read the book. He gave up everything. He gave up his suit. And he wear the original, the dhoti, the way they wear, without a shirt. Can you just imagine? That's called humility. I found that humility in him because he said, even if they attack me and kill me, I will still go on silence. I will not go on non-violence. He'll go on non-violence. Why? That is found here. What Jesus did, he tried to imitate exactly what Jesus did. If you go back and see the movie or read about him, I've been to the place where he stayed in Delhi. But I will read about him now. You'll understand that he lived the life that he exampled. Although he was not a Christian, he knew what Christianity talked about. Our life today is a written gospel. It's a today living gospel. If our life is to be a living gospel, we must have the beatitudes of Jesus Christ, what he said. The beatitudes message that he gave in the Mount of Beatitudes has got to be harnessed by us as Christians. There is no change. Sometimes they ask me, some of them, Pastor, why do you have this, sir, you know, why do you spend money on these people here? Some of them well-to-do. It's not about they're well-to-do. We know we are called to be in this place here in the beginning so that we'll be a light for the people around here. It's not about them. It's about us. Are we having the meekness? Are we showing your presence today around this area? How many of the people here know that you are a Christian? Jesus said, if you testify for me here, I will testify for you in heaven. How many of us dare put up and say, today I'm a Christian, right in front there, and tell them, no, I welcome you, come. I'm a Christian. Today I'm celebrating Christmas, remembering. How many of us do that openly? Today, brothers and sisters, this afternoon, is an exhibition of our humility, our testifying ourselves before the people who live around here, who come around shopping here. See, if you call them and come them to have a meal, it's not about the meal. It's about the exemplary life that we give to others. That we are a Christian, we love people. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or you're small or you're poor, we still love you. Because Jesus Christ loves me. In his meekness, God himself came down on earth. That's what we celebrate today. Christmas is about nothing else. It's about meekness of God coming down on earth. Because the 8 attributes of God, which he talks about there, has come down on earth. And it will be reflected in every one of his disciples, every one of his saints, every one of his daughters, every one of his sons. God's meekness has got to be inside us. We are children of God. Children of God has got to be behaving like a children of God. a king's children will behave like prince and princess. Their attributes, the way they walk, the way they style, they talk, the way they think is different. So we are of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We are birthed out of Him. Such we must have His attributes. Amen. 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 I don't hear amen for that. It is difficult, brothers and sisters, to be ingrained with that, to be have that thing of meekness inside ingrained us. There are times that we know we can be right and we can get angry or something like on people, but we can't do that because there is something ingrained inside us. The same attribute that God showed me, I must show it upon the others. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So Christmas is not about the spirit in the bottle or the cookies that you eat or the good food that you eat or the turkey or whatever you all eat or the lamb that you have. Very nice. But it's about the meekness of God who came down on earth, that He was able to be here and be birthed in us. So let the meekness be birthed in us this time of Christmas, this year of Christmas, this year's season. Let the meekness of Jesus Christ be inside us. And we do not know that we learn from Him. He says, you learn from me, for I am humble and meek. Amen. Amen. Let's read that verse before we close. Learn from Him. Learn from Him. Let's learn from Him. For He is humble and meek. Chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So the souls need to be here in this earth. The souls has got to find rest here. Unless you find rest in this world, if you find rest in your soul, that you must learn that meekness that we have to learn from God, we cannot have that rest in our soul. Our soul cannot rest because we are still finding. We are gloated by the richness. We are gloated by the authority. We are gloated by the dignity that we have. The pride that we have. We are gloated with it. So much so, we can't rest our soul. Our soul has got to come down. And we must understand the peace that will come down in our life. The peace that surpasses all understanding has got to come down in our life. Amen. Only in meekness you can find that soul rest into Him, that you can know Him, can understand Him, the yoke that He carried. He has already carried a yoke of humility. A yoke of humility. A yoke means is the bull which stands right in front. Right one. It puts on the yoke and it pulls. That yoke He has already gone through. He has gone through that meekness. So let us learn from His meekness. So that our soul shall rest. And when our soul rests, we surely will find rest in every bit. We'll find favor among people. And we will be able to inherit the land. Amen. We inherit the land because we will find favor with the man. Amen. Praise God. Father, I just want to thank you, Father. Even as much as so much you have got to talk about meekness, Lord. There's so much to talk about meekness about you, Lord. Even, Lord, if we write about 100 books, we can't, Lord, complete meekness. Complete that humility that you have. That meekness that you have. No one can describe that meekness that you have, Lord. No way can we feel that meekness of God, the Creator. The Word of God, which created everything together with the Father in heaven, has humbled Himself. So meek enough. In His meekness, He came down to become flesh. So that man can be saved. Even through His meekness again, that He did not use His authority. He did not use His power. He just closed His mouth and kept quiet. And took all that pain, all that persecution, all that thing went through, Lord, till death. That man, God became man, born today, born this time of the season, 2,000 over years ago, and 2,000 years ago after 30 years, 33 years, that He was nailed on the cross for our sake. Father, we want to thank you, Lord. Teach us, Lord, Holy Spirit, we pray, teach us to be humble and meek. That our soul may rest. That what has been prophesied by Jesus Christ, that Lord, that we will, Lord, inherit the land. Inherit the earth. That everything, Lord, in this earth, Lord, is not out of pride, is not by our power, by not our own power, but it's by your power that what you've done, that we can inherit, Lord. Nothing you can get in this world with our own power, but only by yours. Lord, we want to thank you. Teach us more about meekness, Lord. That we will find favor in you, in your sight, in the sight of man. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.